the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good Friday morning, and thanks for joining us today. Here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday, we're jumping right into our headlines. Brian German is talking with us about key PPP changes in the most recent COVID relief package. You'll also hear how growers can prepare and implement disease control in this week's Almond Matter segment. Taylor Hellman has more details on Ag Order 4.0, and this year, there might be a new look, but it's the same quality information at this year's World Ag Expo, and that's where I'm starting off today's show. Let's jump right in. Getting a show map from one of the 1,400 Orange Jacket volunteers, test driving a new truck or rig, and indulging in some great barbecue are a few things folks will miss out on during this year's World Ag Expo. But International AgriCenter Marketing Manager Jennifer Fox said instead, this year folks will get all of the best quality live and on-demand educational and business networking opportunities.
Online is so different than live, but there's still some things are the same and makes so much sense. And education was absolutely one of them. You know, our show is big. There's a ton of people, but there's also so many great quality exhibitors. So we really look at big is great, but quality is the most important. And everyone getting the education, the information they need, and getting a network is the primary thing. And so that's what we really tried to focus on this year is let's use this as a really great educational opportunity. And we're continuing to upgrade and improve and work with so many great people.
And a few of those being
Fresno State, of course, is back with lots of great Institute for Food and Ag, water and irrigation information. And then we'll definitely have the International Trade Symposium put on by Global Trade on Wednesday. So if you're looking to do more business there, that's a great one. And Women in Ag for Mentoring and Empowerment is back. And they have a lot of not just, you know, Women in Ag focused offerings, but updates on the new administration and, you know, what people are projecting to see there. There's Texas Hemp Growers Association will be doing a few sessions. So many great things. And then individual exhibitors. So checking out that education is super important. And the great thing is when the sessions debut, there's a live chat opportunity to ask questions as the seminar is going on and get them answered in real time from the speakers. But if you're not able to make it at the time it's scheduled and during the live chat, they will be available on demand later, not just that day, but all year. And so the live chat will be off, but you'll get the great information and there'll be contact information for all those speakers. So you can still network and hook up with them and get what you need to know.
To map out your show planner and create an online account, visit worldagexpo.com. All right, up next, we have another agriculture report. Here's Taylor Hellman.
The Ag Order 4.0, which is new regulation coming for Central Coast areas regarding nitrogen limits to protect area waters, is expected to have a revision to the draft by the end of the month.
It stands to be reviewed and fully understood when the new version comes out at the end of January, and whether or not there are some clarifications to the compliance requirements that they discussed last week. But it just seems to me as I review my notes that they're making it much more complex, and there are many more mileposts that growers are going to have to meet as far as monitoring and reporting, as well as the calculations for their and applications and how that is done. If we're going forward with a nitrogen application per crop, that's so many different data points that have to be captured not only by the grower, but then reported. And how is the regional water board staff going to manage those multitude of data points that they're going to receive? So I think there's a lot that will hinge on this draft that's coming out at the end of January, but based on the conversations that we heard from the board members last week with the staff presentations, I think we're heading into a much more complex order that's going to be very difficult for the average farmer to understand and comply with.
Monterey County Farm Bureau Executive Director Norm Groot said there is no set number of revisions before the new regulation is official. As AgNet West reported, hearings last week from the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board detailed some compliance routines that ag leaders believe may be more problematic. The expected draft revision at the end of January may be the last update, as Groot said they are running out of time.
Yeah, it has to be adopted by early April, so we are running out of time. And after this revision at the end of January, we're not sure that there's going to be much opportunity for revisions after that, at least not substantial revisions. There may be some language that could be updated, but I don't think there's going to be a larger revision after the one we see at the end of January.
For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Taylor Hillman.
Some key changes were made to the Paycheck Protection Program under the most recent COVID relief package. Vice President of Government Affairs at California Cattlemen's Association, Kirk Wilbur, explains that the new provisions for PPP loans will be tremendously helpful for producers.
So the Paycheck Protection Program has been huge, obviously for small businesses like livestock producers, but really any number of small businesses across the country. It allows them to stay in business during this pandemic and more importantly, continue to provide paychecks to their employees. There are two big updates to the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, in this legislation. The first one is it creates a second round of PPP. It provides $284 billion in appropriations so that the Small Business Administration can continue getting those vital loans out to small businesses. There's a second provision that we're really happy with in this bill, and that is in response to a prior ruling by the IRS that would have treated PPP loans issued over this past year as taxable income. Obviously, that's concerning. If folks are, you know, financially troubled enough that they need to seek a PPP loan, it's not going to help them to have to, pay taxes based on that loan amount, especially because part of the purpose of these loans is to be forgiven if they're used for the right purposes. It really does not help producers if they get dinged in April 15th for having taken out these PPP loans. So this legislation actually reverses that ruling by the IRS and clarifies that PPP loans will not be treated as taxable income for small businesses that take out those PPP loans. That's huge for the California Cattlemen's Association and a lot of other industry groups. There were more than 700 organizations that were lobbying Congress to say, hey, it just doesn't make sense to make people pay taxes on these vital loans. So we're happy to see that they have reversed the IRS on that.
For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news, including our livestock report, when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's Brian German.
The University of California Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources has released a new publication on rangeland. The Ecology and Management of Annual Rangeland Series is a 200-page publication that's made available for free download from the UCANR catalog page. The document is a comprehensive report that includes information from the UC system, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as well as other agencies and universities. The publication is broken down into 9 different parts, which include ecological history, range plant growth and development, soils, livestock production, and vegetation change and ecosystem services. The series has been under development for a decade with UC Cooperative Extension Rangeland Specialist Emeritus Mel George leading the effort. The new series summarizes the most important information found in a searchable archive of 700 rangeland publications. For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Well, in today's livestock news, many dairy producers have suffered losses due to the extreme price disruptions that have been caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Thus, the National Milk Producers Federation is calling for changes to the so-called Class 1 fluid milk price mover to help producers recover from those losses. They note dairy farmers may lose roughly $800 million in revenues under the current Class 1 mover, so re-examination is necessary. In release, NMPF President and CEO Jim Mulhern said, "We are seeking consensus across the dairy industry for changes to the Class 1 mover that remedy economic damage to dairy farmers who have disproportionately suffered as a result of this pandemic. The intent behind the current mover was a revenue-neutral solution to the concerns of fluid milk processors about hedging their price risk. With the balance severely upended due to the pandemic, a modified approach is necessary. According to NMPF, the current Class 1 mover used to price fluid milk in federal milk marketing orders took effect back in 2019. And again, those changes were intended to be revenue neutral, and it was widely supported across dairy when it was implemented. But they note the significant gap between Class 3 and 4 prices that has developed during the pandemic has really exposed dairy farmers to losses not experienced by processors. So last week, the NMPF Executive Committee unanimously supported a motion that directs the organization, along with other industry stakeholders, to explore updates to the pricing formula that restore balance and better protect dairy producers. During that meeting, they also discussed other dairy pricing improvements as part of an ongoing in-depth NMPF examination of important issues related to federal milk marketing orders. Mulhern said these issues are challenging and complex, but they're also crucial to face if we are to best promote prosperity among dairy farmers, their cooperatives, and the entire industry. And under a recently proposed rule, the U.S. Department of Agriculture will have primary regulatory jurisdiction concerning the development of gene-edited livestock. And this week, the National Pork Producers Council wrote in comments they submitted to the agency that this will now allow USDA to foster innovation, allow for producer access to this technology, and preserve the preeminence of American agriculture globally. Of course, gene editing is used to make specific changes within an animal's own genome. It will allow the production of animals that are more disease-resistant, require fewer antibiotics, and with a smaller environmental footprint. NPPC noted that U.S. agriculture had been in a holding pattern as USDA and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration were locked in regulatory tug-of-war over authority of this. Meanwhile, China, Brazil, Canada, and other global competitors moved ahead in the race to pursue this technology. But they say whenever new technologies are introduced, consumer acceptance is critical, so the U.S. pork industry is committed to transparency when using this technology in the future. They note, currently there are no gene-edited pigs entering the food supply. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health announces U.S. leadership transition. Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health on Wednesday announced the appointment of Randolph Legg as its U.S. president. He succeeds Everett Hoekstra, who retired in December. Legg will remain head of the company's U.S. commercial business while serving as president. Legg held various commercial leadership roles in Boehringer Ingelheim's human pharmaceutical division before moving to its animal health business in 2019 to lead the U.S. pet commercial team. He is based at the U.S. headquarters of Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health in Georgia. Hoekstra retired after holding a variety of leadership roles at Boehringer Ingelheim. As president of Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health in the U.S. for the last 2 years, he oversaw the final integration activities after Boehringer Ingelheim acquired Muriel in 2017 to become the world's second largest animal health company. Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health also is transitioning into a key global manufacturing role from its global headquarters in Ingelheim, Germany, to the United States. NAFB contributed to this report. And it is time for us to head out for another break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. In this week's Almond Matters, brought to you by Valent, we go over how growers can prepare and implement disease management plans.
We're here talking about diseases today with Pat Clay, Manager of Field Development for the West for Valent USA. And now, Pat, disease is a pretty broad topic, so I thought we could just start with a brief overview of which diseases are most problematic for growers and some of the best management approaches.
Certainly, you know, thinking about the almond diseases, I like to think about them in stages, when they occur and when you need to be attacking them. Certainly, cultural practices through the winter are very important. Sanitation of the orchard, trying to reduce the inoculum or the disease that's there that can infect the tree. And then moving into the spring, you know, probably the biggest one is brown rot blossom blight for bloom spray applications and a couple of other diseases as well. And then you move into your spring and summer diseases that you want to have a plan of attack against.
Yeah, things always seem to go a little bit better when there's a plan in place. And part of that planning is going to be pretty dependent on weather conditions. And with a fairly mild and dry winter thus far, how's that going to affect things at this point in the season in terms of disease management?
So bloom's fast approaching. You know, we have some warm temperatures coming this week. We've had some decent chills, so bloom is going to be upon us before you know it, and having a plan in place is critical. So moving into bloom, generally you think about full bloom sprays for making a fungicide application. Quash, for example, is an excellent material for managing brown rot blossom blight, but you know, that may not be enough depending on the weather pattern that is occurring going into the spring. So if it does turn off wet, you may have to consider additional fungicide applications after that, and really like to think about rotations to other products. So leading off with quash with that spray is a really good option because it gives you a lot of flexibility to move to different modes of action for the follow-up sprays if we turn off in a wet pattern.
Yeah, and with the weather that we've had over the past couple of years being fairly haphazard, it seems like having that flexibility you talked about is going to be pretty important to be able to adapt to whatever weather events may still be on the horizon.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, having a plan in place, but having flexibility to adapt, make sure you have the materials you need in the barn ahead of time so that you can make those timely applications are critical.
Yeah. Now, lastly here, with the weather we've had being fairly dry, which can be helpful in terms of disease pressure, the relatively mild temperatures can have a negative impact. So what kind of disease problems might growers be facing?
We have been relatively dry, but have had periods of moisture that have led to some pretty good fog this year. So it's not just directly an impact of rainfall during bloom, but those moisture conditions, free moisture that's in the orchard. So, you know, even if it's dry during the bloom period, you want to pay attention to that weather factor, such as fog, where you can have those wet conditions. That's certainly going to impact your disease management program that you put in place.
Thanks, Brian. Again, that segment was sponsored by Valent, but if you'd like to catch a recap of the report, you can always head on over to our website, www.agnetwest.com, for more information. And in more agriculture news, a Washington State software company was named Entrepreneur of the Year at the American Farm Bureau Federation Virtual Annual Convention earlier this week. Michael Clements shares how the contest will help the company serve farmers.
Farm Bureau Wednesday announced Harvest, a Washington State software company, as the winner of the Ag Innovation Challenge. The company received a total of $50,000 in prize money to help grow the business. Harvest CEO and co-founder James Christopher Hall says the contest offers more than the title of Entrepreneur of the Year.
Well, it feels like a real accomplishment. We've had the opportunity to work with a lot of good folks through the competition process. So it's been a richly rewarding and learning experience. And the prize and the title of Entrepreneur of the Year is kind of the cherry on top. Huge thank you to the Farm Bureau staff that have helped shepherd us, and the judges and mentors as well, provoking us to really think more about our business.
Hall says Harvest is a human resources app for farms.
So we help farms with the most critical HR tasks, like hiring new employees, doing their safety training, and keeping everyone on the farm on the same page. And we do that in a way that's simple, that's fast, that's organized, and that's accessible to everyone on the farm.
The challenge is sponsored by Farm Credit, Bayer Crop Science, Farm Bureau Bank, Farm Bureau Financial Service, FMC Corporation and John Deere. With their support, Hall says the competition helps rural businesses become better.
When you go through the competition, the judges ask you a lot of questions. The application process asks you a lot of questions, and it forces you to really think deeply about your business, what you offer to farmers in America, and where you want to go from there. And then you, of course, have the judges and the mentors who are available to help you as well. And the promotional aspect from being in the competition has already helped us as we are looking to expand into states all across the country.
Find complete results from the competition at www.fb.org. Michael Klimitz, Washington.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. It is time for us to head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more national news and local reports when we return. Don't forget, though, if you've missed any of our morning shows or simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have that statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search Farm City News Day in your favorite podcast downloading app. That's Farm City News Day. It's available on both Apple and Android devices. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. A new analysis of independent data for 2020 shows that new COVID-19 infection rates amongst meat and poultry workers were 5 times lower in December than in May. Meanwhile, rates in the general population rocketed up 9 times in the same period. According to data from the Food and Environment Reporting Network, the meat and poultry sector was reported to have an average of 20 new reported cases per 100,000 workers per day in December. That compares to an average of 98 new reported cases per 100,000 workers per day in May. The New York Times reports that during the same period, the average new case rate for the U.S. population rose from 7 cases per 100,000 people per day in May to 63 cases in December. Meat Institute President and CEO Juliana Pott says, quote, "This new data further demonstrates that the more than $1.5 billion spent on comprehensive protections implemented since the spring reversed the pandemic's trajectory," unquote. The Indiana Soybean Alliance, with support from United Soybean Board and Sinlon Indiana, is kicking off a new partnership with the Indianapolis Colts. The partnership features soy-backed Sinlon artificial grass to be used during 2021 pregame and traveling educational exercise programs, which will be held once COVID-19 limitations end. The partnership helps further the educational efforts on the many benefits offered by U.S.-grown soybeans, as well as the Soy Checkoff's positive impact on building new markets for the industry, according to USB. Participating children and adults will have the opportunity to learn about soy while enjoying the Colts' popular Touchdown Town 40-yard dash across Sinlon. Use of soybean oil and other plant-based renewable materials qualifies multiple Sinlon products for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Certified Bio-Based Product Label. According to a report USDA released in July 2019, bio-based products contributed $459 billion to the U.S. economy in 2016. Additionally, Sinlon soy-backed grass is recyclable and conserves water. The European Crop Protection Association announced this week it will now operate as CropLife Europe. The rebranding also changes the association mandate to include digital and precision farming, plant biotech innovation, and biopesticides alongside conventional pesticides. The launch of CropLife Europe comes as EU policymakers and governments are increasingly calling on the agriculture and the food system to transition to a more sustainable model. A CropLife Europe spokesperson says, quote, "An agile association representing a host of technologies under one roof will be better equipped to represent the integrated solutions needed to deliver sustainable agriculture," unquote. Another representative says the European Commission's Green Deal is, quote, "a real game changer,"
adding it provides, quote, a great opportunity to deliver more sustainable agriculture, unquote. The expanded organization will encompass a wider range of topics, including pesticides, conservation efforts, and precision agriculture. Finally, the organization will focus on plant biotech traits that enable crops to thrive in difficult conditions using less resources or provide greater benefit in diets. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and now let's take a listen to this next report. Here's Brian German.
A series of videos detailing how the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act will affect the San Joaquin Valley will soon be available in Hmong as well as Spanish and English. PhD candidate at UC Merced, Vicky Espinoza, explained that the video series that's available through the YouTube channel called Cali Water Ag will soon be offered in an additional language.
So Cali Water Ag is currently working on adding Hmong. So hopefully at the beginning of 2021, we should have a trilingual channel so that our Hmong community members can get informed and get involved.
Espinoza, who has been producing the informational videos and managing the Cali Water Ag channel, notes the overall project is designed to encourage more engagement with the SGMA process.
A lot of the rural communities, Spanish speakers and Hmong speakers, haven't really been involved in the SGMA process. So I think it's important during this time that coordination is very key, and that farmers and community members need to be involved so that these groundwater sustainability plans and future land and water use decisions represent them, their community, and their families.
For Agnet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Thanks for that report, Brian. Rounding out our show today, the final food price inflation figures are in for 2020. They show the sharpest price increases in almost a decade. Let's take a listen to Gary Crawford in this report.
If you need yet another reason to despise 2020, check last year's grocery bills. This week's Consumer Price Index has the final 2020 numbers showing that food prices at the supermarket last year jumped higher by an average of 3.5%.
And we haven't seen that level of food price inflation since 2011, when food prices increased 4.8%.
Agriculture Department economist Carolyn Chelius, 3.5% seems even bigger considering that in 2019, grocery store food prices went up less than 1%. Of course, we know where to put the blame, COVID-19, which starting last spring caused
bottlenecks in supply, where distribution systems that were formerly serving restaurant markets are now having to pivot to serve retail markets. There were also specific outbreaks in the meat sector that reduced output and then drove up prices.
Beef prices last year increased over 9.5%, pork 6%, poultry 5.6%. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgnetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgnetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West.